It is my joy and privilege this morning, to bring you the good news from Psalm 46. And so I invite you to turn in with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46. And so before I read, I just want to do just a quick note just about kind of just Psalms in general. So Psalms were the hymn book of ancient Israel. So these are like the Psalms that the covenant community would sing and worship before God. And one of the great things as we kind of dive into Psalm 46 this morning, as we think about Psalms in general, is that they give voice to the emotions that we're feeling, that they help us express some of our deepest feelings inside. Psalms also help teach us. You know, they teach us how to sing, how to pray, how to think, how to lament, how to praise. You know, as we actually went through our service this morning, we used several psalms to help us do that as well. And so as I read through Psalm 46, kind of one just general question I want to have us kind of keep in mind as we read this psalm is, what is the author trying to tell us about who God is and how do we feel about him? How ought we to feel about God? And so let me go ahead and read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of God. Let me pray for our time. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed our God, that you are our ever-present help, that you are our fortress. Lord, I pray for this morning that you would open our hearts to what you have to teach us from this psalm, that you would open our minds to your goodness. And Lord, I just pray that you would help me to speak clearly and to speak clearly your truth and your gospel. Lord, I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm thankful that as I kind of, this time that we kind of live in, it's been a lot of time for like reflection and thinking how things have gone. And I'm thankful that in my life that there haven't been too many moments where I've been fearful about what is going to happen next. But I had one of those moments 3 years ago when I was fearful of what was going to happen next. It was when we were planning to move back to Pennsylvania from our time in St. Louis. I had just graduated. We knew we wanted to land in Pennsylvania. We were going to land in the Chambersburg area. I didn't have a place to live yet. We didn't have a place to live yet. So it was myself, my wife, and our two children at the time. We drove cross-country. We found a storage unit in Chambersburg, but we just kind of threw all of our stuff in. And then my wife, Kate, and our two girls, Annabelle and Maya, we're going to go stay with my grandparents in Staten Island, New York, while I kind of figured out where we were going to live and kind of try to get us moved into that place. And before I go into the rest of the story, I want to preface it that my second daughter, Maya, was only less than a month old at the time. So she's less than a month old at the time, and she turns out okay. She's probably at Redeemer Church coloring in the pew or something like that right now. So she turns out okay. But during our time when we were staying with my grandparents in New York, she got very sick. We noticed that she started to get much more lethargic. She started to have a temperature and started to get much, much warmer. And so, she seems like she's developing a fever. And so when they're like a month old, you're not supposed to give them Tylenol, and it's good to get them into the doctor. So we go to an urgent care on Staten Island. And they start to do their physical, you know, the typical measuring, the weighing, and then they took her temperature. And it was one of those moments where you realize you have no idea what's going to happen next. Because I thought it was just, okay, we're going to take her temperature, they're going to say, okay, maybe this or that. But the doctor took her temperature, and then the doctor turns and looks at us and says, her fever is much too high, we're sending you to the hospital. You need to go to the ER. And it wasn't one of those like, oh, do you want to go? It's a little high. Do you want to go? It was like, no, which hospital are you going to? And keep in mind that I'm on Staten Island. I don't know any hospitals around. This is a new place. So we go to the hospital that they recommend. We go into the ER. They put us in a room. They put my one-month-old on the table there on the bed. And they do the poking and the prodding. And they're like, we need to get an IV in her. And so here I have my one-month-old. They're taking blood. They're trying to find a vein because she's so little to get an IV in, and she's just screaming. And it was in that moment where I felt so fearful and so powerless and so overwhelmed that I didn't know what was going to happen. Remember, I just moved halfway across the country from St. Louis. All of my stuff is in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. My oldest daughter is with my mom at my grandparents' house. My wife and I are in a hospital in Staten Island, New York, and we're watching our doctor try to stick an IV into my one-month-old. And there was nothing I could do. It felt like the circumstances were just, it was just like this flood overwhelming me, like, what in the world is going on? You know, I think one of the reasons or one of the things where we fear or when we feel so fearful is moments like that, when we feel so powerless, where the circumstances just threaten to overwhelm us. And it's scary in those circumstances when we feel as if even the entire world is arrayed against us. And I suspect that's how some of us feel right now. That some of us feel that in our current circumstances that it just feels so overwhelming, that there's nothing that we can do. You know, something that seemed as simple as going to the grocery store, for some of us might feel just worrisome and fearful due to things outside of our control. Maybe it's finances or jobs where you were in a thriving business and now you're just trying to make ends meet. Maybe it's our health where we feel like there's just nothing I can do. Maybe it's this political climate that we live in where it just feels like everything is just outside of our control. And it's in those moments where we just feel so overwhelmed, those moments where there are just circumstances outside of our control, those moments where it just feels like a flood is coming to overwhelm. It's in those moments that Psalm 46 speaks into. And it speaks into it because we worship an almighty God who is our King. Twice in the Psalm, in verses 7 and again in verse 11, it says, the Lord Almighty is with us. And in fact, the Psalm begins in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And because that is true, because the Lord is all almighty God, because he is with us, because he is our place of strength, because he is powerful and he is over all sovereign over all things, because that is true, we read in verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Therefore we will not fear. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. This is not saying that we go and be reckless, you know, because you have nothing to fear. This is not saying that you're invincible. This is not saying that you can go out and be foolish. No, we still need to be wise. We need to be careful in the things that determine that we should be careful in. This is not saying go and be reckless. No, This is saying when the circumstances are threatening to overwhelm you, when nature itself is roaring at you, do not fear, because God has power over creation. When the nations are in uproar, do not fear, because God is king. When the peoples and the nations are at roar and it just feels like you're going to be swallowed up, do not fear, because the Lord Almighty is with you. And so when you feel powerless, or if you feel like the circumstances might overwhelm you, what the psalmist is telling us, know that God is with you. And as we dive more in depth into this psalm, we're going to take a look at the three ways that God is with us. We see here in the psalm that God sustains and he protects us, that God dwells with us, and that God acts for us. That he sustains and protects us, that he dwells with us, and that he acts for us. And so first, I want us to look at how God sustains and protects us. And we're going to look at the first several verses. And so it says here, you know, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. When we read this, I want us to take a look at kind of what's being described here as some of the imagery. You know, in verse 2, we see that the earth is giving way and the mountains are falling. In verse 3, we see that the mountains are quaking in fear of the waters. And kind of what's setting the stage here, what's the stage here is that the people of God are in distress. You know, there's nothing specific, like if there's a specific event, it's just general that the people of God are in distress. You know, as we think about, you know, the earth, as we think about mountains, these are images. A mountain is supposed to be strong. A mountain is supposed to be unmovable. It's supposed to be formidable. You know, as we read another image is that, you know, mountains are unmovable. You know, you have to try and conquer the mountain. It's this overwhelming task. And yet, we read here that they give way, that they fall, that the mountains themselves are quaking. You know, we see that the waters are roaring, and it causes even the mighty, unmovable mountains to fall in the quake. It's as if creation itself is rebelling. You know, if you've been following the news, it's been a rough hurricane season. And I remember a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go down to the New Orleans area after Hurricane Katrina. And if you've ever seen the aftermath of flooding in a hurricane, it's at times it's unbelievable. I'm not a very tall person, so it's not hard to do this. But just imagine that floodwaters are taller than me. You know, flooding entire first floors of a city, and just the devastation that is wrought by surging waters, by roaring waters. And if you watch clips on like the Weather Channel or anything, you just can see just the raw might and power of just the wind and the rain. And so the question the psalmist is asking is, you know, where does the psalmist go in times of distress? When it feels like you're just in the midst of the waters roaring and shaking and mountains quaking. And where does the psalmist go? We have our answer in the very first verse. He goes to God. He goes to God is our refuge. You know, God is our fortress. God is this place where you go for protection. When you are scared, this is the place that you retreat for comfort. He is the one who will protect you from all of that. You know, God is our refuge. He's also our strength and ever-present help in trouble. So not only is he this place where you go and are protected, he's also your source of inner strength to endure the hardships. And so what does the psalmist go on to say? In those moments where it feels like nature itself is against you, in those moments, go to God. He will protect you, and he is your strength. Therefore, you do not need to fear. When you go where you go to him, when you're in distress, when nations rise up, when mountains fall, you do not need to fear, because that is who God is. And so then the question for us is, where do we go in our distress when we feel as though the sea itself will swallow us up? But maybe the first question isn't, where do we go? Maybe the first question is, do you even acknowledge that you're having a hard time? You know, here the psalmist is clearly stating and acknowledging the realities around them. You know, in verses 2 and 3, we see that, you know, the mountains are quaking and the seas are roaring. In verse 6, it says that the nations are in uproar, that kingdoms are falling. In verses 8 and 9, it's a description of a world at war. You know, clearly, the nation of Israel, the things that are happening around them are terrible. They're not pleasant. There's nothing a part of that. I don't want any part of that. And the psalmist is acknowledging these are hard things. And I notice this within myself. I kind of do one of two things when the circumstances are hard, when I feel myself trying to get overwhelmed. You know, one of the things I try to do is I try to maybe minimize or maybe even ignore what's going on. You know, I try to delegitimize what I'm feeling. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, other people might have it worse. You know, what I'm feeling, I'll get through it, it's okay. When in reality, what you're feeling is true and it feels overwhelming. And even if someone else has gone through something similar and handled it in a different way, that doesn't make what you're feeling illegitimate. You might be feeling as if nature itself is against you. So one of the things, you know, I recognize that maybe I try to delegitimize what I'm feeling or experiencing. The other thing I might try to do is sometimes maybe I ignore or try to pretend that it's not happening. You know, I tend to turn to things that might help me not deal with what's going on. You know, try to ignore my current hard realities. You know, I'm a big reader. I enjoy reading. One of my favorite books is The Hobbit by Tolkien. And I have, sometimes to the frustration of my wife, I have this ability to just get lost in a book. You know, where I am with Bilbo in the heart of the mountain, where I'm trying to avoid the goblins, I'm trying to escape, I'm with him, watching him as he does the riddles in the dark, and then as he has the rain and he gets out, and I'm there in that moment. And I'm not saying that reading is bad. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Reading is very good. But what I use reading for in that moment is escapism. Because the reading in that moment for me is temporary. Because my circumstances haven't changed while I'm in the midst of the pages of that book. When I'm done reading that book, my circumstances are still the same. They're still hard. I can't ignore them. Reading my book doesn't change it. But maybe substitute reading for something else. Maybe it's watching a movie or TV. Maybe it's getting lost in the scrolling of social media. Maybe sports are back, and so you're just running the gauntlet. You're watching sports that you've never watched before. Maybe it's work. You're trying to get yourself lost in the midst of work. Maybe you've picked up hobbies or chores, all in the sense to try to ignore what you're actually feeling. So the question is, do we try to distract ourselves from our distress for temporary satisfactions, or do we go to God, who is our safe place? Do we go to God, who is our refuge, in his safe embrace, that he gives us his life-giving strength to endure those same hardships? So we see that God strengthens us, and he sustains us, and he protects us. And then that brings us into our next section, verses 4 through 7, and it says this: "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And what we see here is that God dwells with his people. God is in the midst of his people. And here we see some of the imagery shift from that first section that we read, where in the previous section, the waters are roaring and foaming and overwhelming even the mountains. Here, in verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad. The water is now life-giving versus overwhelming. And now we are located, before we were just kind of out there, now here in this section, we are within the city of God, the holy place. We are in the heavenly community where God dwells. But I want us to notice that even though we are now, the God's people are now within that holy city, within that covenant community, they are with God in his city, the outside circumstances haven't changed. They haven't gotten better. In verse 6, we read that the nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are falling. And so the outside circumstances have not changed. They are still awful. But we read that the city will not fall because God is there. He is with his people. He will sustain and protect them. Even though outside the nations are in uproar, outside kingdoms are falling, God is protecting his people and his city. He will protect them and sustain them through the night. We read that here in verse 5, that God will help her at the break of day, that God will sustain you through the night and help you at the morning of each day. He is our daily help. He watches over you while you sleep. And the one who watches over you does not slumber. In Psalm 121, this is one of my favorite psalms, and it says this, I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And how humbling is that? You know, I can't tell you how many times in the past week or the past months where I've asked, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more hours in the day to complete this task. I wish I had more energy to do that one more thing. And we're finite people. There is only so much that I can do. I can't do it all. And so that's extremely humbling, but it's also extremely peaceful and restful, knowing that when I go to bed, when I go to sleep at night, that our God does not sleep or slumber, but he watches over us. Now, he is dwelling with his people, and in the midst of the city, his people will not fall. And what confidence that should give us. How confident that should get us. If we read verse 7, it's almost like a battle cry. Like, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, it's almost like it's a battle cry. No, God is with us in the midst of all those things. This is ours in faith, you know, that God is with us. You know, earlier this summer, there was a documentary that came out about Michael Jordan, if you're a fan of basketball. Michael Jordan's probably one of the best basketball players that's ever played and lived. And it was really interesting. It's always interesting to watch any sports team or any athlete that is great at what they do, but particularly the team sports. Because when you watch that documentary, I was fascinated by his teammates. I mean, Michael Jordan would just do crazy, incredible things. But I was most fascinated by his teammates because his teammates had such incredible confidence that went beyond their own abilities. Like, they knew when they got to the finals, they were going to win. It didn't matter how good the other team is. It didn't matter how well his teammates played. They knew they were not going to lose because Michael was on their team. Just incredible confidence beyond their own means. They knew they were not going to win the game. He was going to win it for them. And that is ours in faith. That God is with us. That he will not let his people fall. And that brings us then to our third section, that God acts for his people. And so if we look at verse 8, it begins with, come and see. And I'm going to go ahead and just pause there for a moment. This come and see, it's almost like a fast forward. You know, if the first two sections that we looked at are kind of, this is what they're currently feeling. This is what they're currently experiencing. Things are hard. But as we get into this third section in verse 8, this third section is, look and see what God has done, how he has acted, what the Lord has done. Like if we look at the verb tenses in our first couple of sections, it says, you know, though the earth give way, the mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. You know, we read that God is with her, you know, that she will not fall. You know, he lifts his voice. The Lord Almighty is with us. He's currently present in them. They are currently presently feeling these things. God is with them. But then when we look here in this third section, come and see what he has done, what he has brought. He has caused wars to cease. He has broken. He has shattered. Look at what he has done. It's already completed. And we think about the Psalms in general, the Psalms often have this long view in mind. You know, while our current circumstances are hard and challenging, and we acknowledge that, our God is our refuge and strength now. He will sustain us through these hard circumstances. But ultimately, he is going to renew all things. He is going to restore all things. They have this long view in mind. And in this section, this long view in mind, what it tells us is that the Lord has brought peace. You know, while the nations were in uproar, the kingdoms were falling, we come and see what the Lord has done, that he has caused wars to cease to the ends of the world, the ends of the earth, that he breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the shields with fire. He's breaking the very instruments of war. You are not even able to do war. You no longer have the tools and the instruments of war. He is establishing peace upon the earth. But we need to note that this peace is not through asking nicely. This is not a peace through negotiation. No, this is God declaring peace, God making peace. You know, one writer says this. It says that the outcome is peace, but the process is God's judgment on the earth. We read, you know, in verse 6, you know, that the earth melts. You know, in verse 8, the desolations he has brought upon the earth. You know, he is speaking peace into it. You know, the same voice that spoke creation into being now speaks judgment upon the earth and causes peace. But it's important to remember, where are the people of God in the midst of this? Where are the faithful? The people of God are still with their king in his city. They are still in his refuge. They are still within his fortress. The people of God, even though God has brought judgment upon the world, he has caused wars to cease, that he has broken all of the instruments of wars, he has done this on behalf of his people, he's still with them in his city. And it continues here in verse 10. It says this, there's this command, be still. Essentially, this is the command to stop. You know, God is rebuking, he's speaking against the rebellion of the world. You know, one of the best images I think of when I think about this be still comes from Mark. And it says this. So here in Mark chapter 4, that day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So Jesus is out on this boat with his disciples, and a storm has come. And so Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And here we read in verse 39, Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and was completely calm. It's a call to humility. God is calling his creation. God is calling this rebellious world to be still. You know, it's humility before the Almighty. And as we continue to read here, back to the Psalm 46, it doesn't just stop there at the be still. It says this, be still and what? Be still and know that I am God. You know, God's glory is in view here. You know, he will be exalted among the nations. He's going to be exalted among all the earth. When all of the world is rebelling, when all of the nations are raging, God will be exalted. And that is our hope. Our hope is in the Creator, is in the King, is in the Almighty. Our hope is not in what we can do, in what we can overcome, but in what he has done and what he has overcome. And so as we kind of reflect and think about the psalm, you know, what does it mean for us? You know, first, I think it means the first just to humble ourselves. Where do we need to be still? Where do we need to acknowledge that he is the Lord Almighty? Second, I think it means that we cast our burdens on him. You know, as we read this morning in 1 Peter 5, cast all of your anxieties upon him. Why? Rest in him. He is our refuge and our strength. He is the one that is your ever-present help in trouble. Third, I think it's always good and helpful to remember that we ought to pray fervently. And know as we pray to him that he is with us. And then lastly, I think it brings us the praise and exaltation. When we rest in him, we abide in him, when we experience his life-sustaining strength and peace, that leads us to praise that he is indeed our God and we can exalt him. So as we think about this psalm is what Israel sang in worship as the covenant community, and this is true for them. And this is true for them. They knew that God was their refuge and his strength, that he was with them. And this is true for us in Christ Jesus as well. You know, Jesus is our refuge and our strength. And he has sent his Spirit as an ever-present help when we are in trouble. You know, Jesus came and he lived and he suffered and he knows what it's like to suffer. And his Spirit now dwells within us in the midst of that suffering. And we look at what he has done on the cross, that he has defeated death. And we look at the long view in mind that he is indeed coming again to renew the world and bring an everlasting peace. And so as we think about that first question that I asked way at the beginning before I read, you know, what is the psalmist and the author trying to teach us about God? Is that the Lord Almighty is with us. That the Lord Almighty is with us and that he sustains us. And how ought we to feel? Well, we don't need to fear. In fact, we don't need to fear. We can rejoice and exalt him. Because he is our refuge and our strength. He is our ever-present help. Let me pray for us. Lord, you are indeed our refuge and our strength. And Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, you even say in our Lord's Prayer that you are our daily bread, that you come and you will sustain us even when the circumstances feel overwhelming. Lord, that we can go to you in the midst of that. And that we do not need to fear because you are with us. And Lord, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.